Nellie Emily Stevens, Reel 6. I think you wanted to say something about the boat that you came back on leave from England. Which year was that in?
It was 1932, and that would be approximately October time.
And the ship?
And the ship was a California. And at that time, they were giving the army, I think, a few tourists, what they termed as tourist passengers for some people, and we had the offer of it, and we accepted it. And it was absolutely marvelous. We had to get to Birkenhead from Rotten. No, Liverpool. All our baggage had to go a few days beforehand to Birkenhead, because they did say it cost £100 in them days to berth in Liverpool. And there were civilians going out there, and of course they had to have the boat right in. They wouldn't go to Birkenhead, they'd book from Liverpool. We had a marvellous voyage. The food was absolutely marvellous. And we had a cabin for the children and a cabin for my husband and I. And there was even water let on in the cabin. And the waitresses was all Scotch, and they were very nice. And the food was absolutely marvellous. We were treated really well, and it was really wonderful. But a terrible thing happened on that boat. Some of the families were playing dacoits. And there was a young laddie, one of the ship's crew, and he went to jump to get this quoit or something. It had gone up, and you know what the wind screens are that go down, they get all the wind from the Red Sea, like when you, well, just before you get into Port Said, and that it's getting rather warm, and you get the wind in these sockets. Well, he got in one of them, this man did, and the machinery was gradually taking him down. And it was sad, really, that he lost his life. And that was just doing a good turn. And we had left Port Said, and we were going to up towards Port Sudan. We were actually through the Suez Canal. And the boat came and took him off, but we was told that he died. Collected on the boat, he's supposed to have had a widowed mother. And it was
So
very sad.
he went into, was it a kind of air vent or something
Something
like that?
like that you would call it today, I suppose. We called it a wind socket, you know.
Wind
Yeah,
socket.
it was gradually
Wind sock.
wind sock, yes, perhaps. Yes.
So that journey on the California was a very pleasant one for you, and it was a big difference to the one boat in which you'd gone out to India.
Oh, vast
What was the
difference,
name of
yes.
that boat you went out to
We
India on?
went out on the Neuralia. I remember that perfectly well, because we were only 3 days out at sea, and we had a baby born there. And before she was christened Florence Neuralia. So you might meet Florence Neuralia. Because in them days, you couldn't travel. A woman couldn't travel 3 days before, 3 months before the birth of her baby and 3 months afterwards. That was the law of the army. You couldn't travel.
So how is it that this baby had been born on board then?
Well, actually, this woman camouflaged it, I suppose. She got by.
Hmm.
And she hadn't seen her husband for such a long time. I don't suppose medical officers thought things like that could happen, but you do, you know.
Could I ask
she was sent home on the City of Marseille. She went to Aden. The lady was sent home.
You mean that after the baby was born on board, instead of going through to India...
Her husband was at Aden. She was going out to meet her husband in Aden. Her husband was waiting for her to come out. But when she knew that she had this baby, she was sent home straight away.
Could I ask you about leave in India? How much leave were you entitled to in India? How regularly did you get leave?
I think my husband was entitled to 2 months a year in them days. They used to come home for a weekend or anything. As I told you before, my husband wasn't with me all the time. He was in Rasmak, he was in Wana, and I was on the stations on my own. But I used to go to dances and that with Aidan. First of all, he said, when I went out the first one, I never want you to go to a dance without me, and I never want you to go anywhere without me. But then he used to have to trust me, didn't he? Because life would have been so boring for me if I hadn't. And I got in with some very nice people, like married my friends, Mrs. Heath. And they used to take me out. I never felt out of place. They were always very kind to me. I think it's how you treated them. If you never started any foolery or anything like that, you never got any back, did you?
So, you weren't permitted to go with your husband right up into the frontier?
Not in Rasmak or Wana, no.
How far into the frontier area could women go?
Well, Banu, that was... Oh,
Banu
and
was
I,
the limit, was it?
I would like to tell you about this place... that I think it would be two missionaries, and we were in Rusalpur. Now, this is going back a very long, long time, and I'll do my best to remember it, but I think it was the most wonderful thing that I've ever seen. And these two ladies was right in this hospital, right on the frontier, not far from Peshawar. And I think... the name was Madan, but I might be mistaken. And they had this big hospital where they were trying to teach the gospel and healing at the same time. And ASCO had been up there, and he said, I must let my family see this, what actually is going on. And so we were guarded, we were taken up, guarded. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And these two, there wasn't no other Europeans they couldn't speak to or anything. But they had this husband and this man, he had a wife. And he said she was unclean, she couldn't have a baby, this Indian woman. So would they do something to her? So this lady said, we took her and we operated on her, and we knew that it would only be a miracle of God if she could have a baby. Well, three times they had her in the hospital and tried to do something for her, but they couldn't. In the end, this man said, she's unclean, I don't want her, you have her. So they put her on as cleaning the wards and let her earn her own living that way. And then there was a ward full of women with VD after inside eaten away, and it was a terrible sight. But that's what two women were doing. And they were only just doing it because it was religion, as religion should be, I think. You can go to church and you can... But to me, that was Absolutely wonderful. And then she said, I've got something else to show you. Do come along and see. And she had a little black baby in the cart. And she said, we found him out down the doorstep. And we don't know who he is. We don't know his name or anything. But we're going to send him to England. And one day he'll be able to carry on air work that we're doing. Because we won't always be here. Don't you think that was wonderful?
So they were going to train him?
Yeah.
Did you come into much contact with missionaries?
No, not a great deal. That one there. I did used to go to church. And we had Church of England and Roman Catholic. Oh, one little bearer, one little boy came to me, an Indian boy, and he said, huh, yours is a funny religion, Mam Sahib. So I said, why? Well, he said, you worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and yet he's one man. How come, Mam Sahib? I didn't know how to answer him. But he said, the Roman Catholic is one, the Blessed Virgin Mary. They worship the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is a better religion, Mam Sahib, than yours. Yours is no good.
What religion was he?
I expect he was an Hindu. I don't know, but I was Church of England. But going to church, and especially in Banu, in Derishmar Khan, and you go around and you see all these little brass plates in memory of someone that died on the frontier on such and such a day. I suppose they're still there, and it makes one sad to think there were so many of our lives lost out there. Because there was, you know. And in the Indian Mutiny, there was an awful lot, and there were still stories going round that what they did do to air people. There was one strong room that used to say, I want my mummy, this little curly-headed boy, I want my mummy, or come along, I'll take you, and they threw you down the well. Whether it was true, I don't know, but did have them big wells, you know, with And I know very well that when my two little boys was there, and we had a medical examination for all their quarters. The quartermaster sergeant and the CO and all that would come round to inspect their quarters to see if we kept the knives, you know. They even used to open the cupboards out to see if it was clean. And my little boys, they thought it was fun for these officers and that to come in. Because they used to make an awful fuss at these two boys. They were for the future army, you see. And Dick said to one of them, my mum's at indoors. He said, what are you doing round this well? This was one of the wells that the bullocks used to come round and round to get the water. What are you doing round this well? He said, I'm just looking. You go along home to your mummy. And you know, within an hour, that well was covered in barbed wire so one of the children wouldn't go down, you know. Well, they were good to us in lots of ways, but they couldn't help the conditions that we lived in.
You were saying that the families in the army used to have a tradition of stories about the mutiny that they used to tell.
Mm.
So, obviously it wasn't memories of the mutiny because nobody could remember
it. No, it would be handed down.
That they'd be handed down.
They would be, yes.
So they were very conscious of what had happened.
Yes, well, even on church parade, no man used to go to church. They always have to go to draw their ammunition before they went on church parade. And in Matra, as it was in that series of the British Empire, I watched it. There was the church in that where they used to be able to put their rifles in. That was only in Merritt, though. That was, I never saw it anywhere else. But we did used to go to church sometimes. Armistice Day, we used to have marvellous parades out there with the aeroplanes and that coming down.
Aeroplanes.
Yes.
Well, you had fly pasts.
Yes. Used to have them.
Could I ask you about where you used to go for your leaves in India?
Oh, we didn't. We never used to go. My husband was in hockey, very big hockey player. Used to play in Lintott's Hockey Shield, and used to go out for all these shields, you know.
Who's
And
Hockey Shield?
Lintott's Hockey Shield, and
Who is Lintott?
Lintott used to have a big cafe in Murray and Royal Pindi. He would give a shield, and they used to play these hockey tournaments, you see.
So he was a businessman,
He
you know.
was a businessman, yes, and he would give a shield for them. And it was a great honour if they won this shield, of course. That's what they used to play for. And if it was, we went to, 1 year there was one in Agra, and we went to Agra. When I only had one little boy, I used to be able to go with my husband. But when I had two children and three children, it wasn't worth going. It was too much of a drag to take them. But he used to go, and I would go with him occasionally, I said, when I had one. And we did see the Taj Mahal by moonlight, which was marvellous.
Did you take very much interest in Indian arts and architecture and so on?
Well, yes, if we came across it, they were very clever. I told you that they were clever as regards making dresses and shoes and handbags and their rugs, their carpets and that they used to make. But of course, they would bring them to us to buy. I used to buy them
What type of
occasionally.
things did you buy in the way of Indian handicrafts and so on?
Brass, had no end of brass and carved woodwork. And it's still in the family now. It is with the children. When they married, I gave it to them. I was glad to get rid of it because it saves me so much cleaning now. It used to take me all day to clean my brass.
So you used.
And the woodwork, and I used to clean it with a boot brush and polish it. And it used to look marvellous. Oh, the carved tables and things. The silk things they used to make. We used to get lovely silk out there.
Could I ask you just one of you've told me about family life in married quarters quite a bit, but one or two things we've missed. The health of the children. What was your opinion about how the children's health was looked after?
Well, they were vaccinated and they were inoculated, and I don't know, they were medical examination from their school just like they were here. But my second son has just recently had a very, very bad operation, and he was. I told you he was born in Karachi, and he had a cluster of veins on the side of his head, which he was born with, and they say that he should have we should have noticed it when he was born, but we didn't, and thank God he's got over it. But even today, he puts his hand up to his head, where it's so sore at times. He had a I think he had two terrible operations at Radcliffe. Sometimes I think, could it have been avoided if he'd have been born in England? You don't like to see the children going through pain. As a matter of fact, you just met him, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Your letters home, I think you were telling me that your letters were censored. Could you tell me about
that? Oh, yes,
that?
They were. No, we had orders. When we wrote home to England, letters could be censored. They could have been censored if we'd have wrote to anyone in India. I mean, naturally, you meet friends, and they could have been censored. I don't know if any of mine was censored or not, but I didn't know a great deal of what went on, the operations or anything like that. As I told you, I was never frightened. I was never scared. Actually, we had someone break into air quarters. And when we were in Karachi, actually, we did have loose wallers. And I've never forgiven them for it because they took all my jewellery, not because it was any value to anybody. I never had much that was valuable, but to me it was a great sentimental value. I had a locket and chain that my mother bought me after my dad had died, and I was only a little girl. And mother had to have the other one made for my sister, and we both have one. My sister still got hers now. And that was stolen, and a lot of my jewellery, little bits and pieces, was gone. And my husband was orderly sergeant that morning, and he went out, I don't know, went out early in the morning. I don't know if he had to go in Soundary Valley or what it was, I don't know, but he had to go early in the morning. And actually, this man, this loose waller, was coming out of a barrack room, and because I saw him I screamed, and he'd taken all somebody's life savings that was coming to England that in the morning, like, and he was covered in cheetah fat. Now a dog will not go near a cheetah, and they used to cover themselves in this cheetah fat, and he jumped. I can see him to this day. And he jumped over that fence into the Indian hospital, which was just near us. That was the Indian hospital for Indians alone, and nobody ever saw him. Nobody had him.
So the loose waller, or the thief, had covered himself in cheetah fat so that the dog wouldn't bark.
Well, because your dogs wouldn't bark, no. And if I hadn't shouted, they might have had him.
You said you had
it. Oh, my husband's boots was on the step as well, because they used to have big army boots, you know, for marching. They used to have to march, and they had these big boots, like we used to call them field boots. Perhaps he was going to take them. He'd got them on the step. He'd been into air quarter, and my mother was very, very cross because I'd lost this locket and chain, and she never forgave me for it. But I never told her really what happened. Perhaps she'd have been different.
You were saying that you had Indian servants.
Yes.
How many servants did you have?
Oh, only one at a time. Only one at a time. If I had an Indian nurse, I couldn't afford a bear. But I did have a little chico in Rizalpur. A little chico that was an Indian boy, and I trained him. He couldn't speak a word of English, and I trained him, and he used to come up the hills with me, and he had a little quarter in that, and out with some more boys, and he really was a nice little boy, but he used to use an awful lot of soap, and he used to keep himself spotlessly clean. And one day I was speaking to a lady and I said, do you know I use 3 bars of sunlight soap a week? She said, don't be so silly, of course you don't. I said, I do. And she had 2 big girls. And one day the little chico had gone to the bazaar for me. And her 2 girls followed him. And you could see where he'd walked. Or where it was raining so hard that all the soap suds was coming out of his clothes onto the side of the road. And that's where my soap went.
What was his name?
Oh, I don't know. I used to call him Chico. We never used to go into names or anything like that.
So you couldn't afford to employ more than one servant at a time?
No, no.
How much did you have to pay them?
Oh, I forget now. About 6 rupees a week, I suppose. That was when I went out. First of all, they wouldn't work for you. Not for that. When you came home, they wanted more.
Were there problems in finding a good servant? Was it difficult to find a good servant?
Well, people would give them a chitty. You know, that was a reference to... and some of them used to put awfully funny things on them. I think my husband told you where we were interviewing one, and he said... my advice to you is to give this one a wide berth, something. We used to get such funny letters from them sometimes, used to write to us. Oh, when I came home to England, I've always done a lot of knitting, and I told you that I was coming home to... I came home a year before my husband. And when one Indian knew I was coming home, he brought me about 2 dozen pairs of knitting needles as a present. And none of them was any good. I think he must have stolen them. And they were awful knitting needles.
Did you say the servants used to write to you?
Oh, they used.